Please stand by. We're about to begin. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, IBM ZOS Storage Management Overview. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll hear an overview of IBM's strategy for managing ZOS storage environments. The speaker for today's teleconference is Louis Hanna, Certified Consulting Software Technical Sales Specialist, Tivoli Software. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our speaker, Mr. Louis Hanna. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Again, my name is Louis Hanna, and I'll be taking you through an overview of the IBM ZStorage Management hierarchy. It shows a lot of integration and unification between our products, so hopefully you'll get a good view of all the tools that we have and how they work together to help towards this common business challenge. If we take a look at slide 2, this is a general view of the agenda. We're going to take a quick look at just what some of our general storage challenges are. We'll take a look at the traditional IBM System Z storage infrastructure. This represents some of the old products that we're familiar with, the DFSMS suite, as well as the hardware infrastructure that's out there. We'll start taking a look at some of the new tools out there, beginning with OmegaMon XE for Storage on ZOS. We'll talk about its interfaces and its primary capabilities, and then we'll go into the key Tivoli Z storage solutions that are layered on top of DFSMS and the TEP interface used by OmegaMon. We'll take a quick look at IBM System Z Storage Management future, its direction, as well as how some of this interaction and interplay of products can be leveraged by you in your environments for managing availability and resources in your environment. If we take a look at slide 3, very generally, I'm not going to go through this slide in detail, but what are some of our challenges out there? I can sum it up pretty quickly. Our environments are getting larger. We have less people available to manage these larger environments. And in addition to these environments being larger, they're also becoming a lot more complex. You can't just go to one place anymore to find the information you're looking for. Applications are spread across systems, across platforms, and they all interact and interrelate with each other. All of these things sort of sum up the various storage management challenges that we have when it comes to identifying problems, isolating root cause, and ultimately correcting these things. If we take a look at slide 4, some of these common issues at a more detailed level, if we sort of zoom in and take a look at ZOS storage management, probably one of the biggest issues that most of us are faced with is space. What's the availability at the storage group level? What's the availability of volume and even data set levels? How is our space trending? How much space that we have today versus last week? And can we project that forward to determine when we may encounter our next space constraint environment? In addition to space, we have performance concerns. So again, performance at group level, volume level, data set level. We need to ensure that we're running jobs smoothly in our environments. Cross-system contention is something that can creep up in today's complicated environments, as well as just general performance of new hardware that we may be deploying in our environments. Specific availability of resources is also something that plays into our common issues. This goes anywhere from the base I/O subsystem to peripherals like tape, DASD, as well as cache and our control units and things like that. Applications represent a type of view that is usually very helpful for us in today's environments. Being able to monitor at an application level allows us to maybe sift through some of the extraneous data that's presented to us from test and development type environments and allows us to focus in on the key production critical issues that are out there. So being able to monitor from an application perspective and identify only situations that impact critical applications can be useful in weeding through the abundance of data that we're getting. Identifying the mappings between logical and physical media. It used to be that if you looked at a volume, the logical view of that volume that ZOS saw is exactly what the physical mapping of that volume is. That's not the case anymore. Currently, our storage arrays present a completely different physical architecture to what the operating system sees. So being able to relate the physical architecture to the logical architecture viewed by the operating system is key to understanding performance issues. HSM is a key subsystem in most of our environments. And ensuring that HSM is running efficiently and cleanly is critical to keeping overhead down and availability of DASD assets high. Being able to audit and correct HSM structure errors in the control data sets is tip typically a labor and system intensive activity, so being able to minimize that is fairly significant as well. ICF catalogs continue to be a key element of the ZOS infrastructure. They can still represent a single point of failure in some of our complex environments, so being able to repair, maintain, and audit ICF catalogs is critical in today's ZOS environments. Allocation processing, basically the creation of new data and the ability for our production environments to allocate new data sets without failure, is critical to ensuring that batch cycles are running smoothly and don't interfere with online availability. And then generally resource constraints, ensuring that typical tasks are performed in a regular manner to ensure that our storage environment remains clean and healthy and as efficient as possible. So we take a look at slide 5. If we consider some of the traditional IBM tools in the SystemZ storage infrastructure, they all tend to point back to the DFSMS family. We've got the data facility product, which allows us to create data sets and basically defines what can and cannot be done with data in the Z environment. We've got the hierarchical storage manager, which is HSM, which is responsible for managing the life cycle of data and managing the life cycle of that data to less or more cost-effective media as usage of that data drops off. Dataset services represents a utility-type function, the ability to manipulate data, move it from one device to another, dump it to tape, restore it from tape, so managing backup and recovery, as well as volume conditioning and preparation for DFSMS deployment. Removable media manager is RMM. This is our tape manager, and this provides an automatic cataloging of all tape data sets in the environment, as well as retention and vaulting controls, reporting, things like that. And then IBM Global Mirror, the ability to mirror our DASD environments to geographically distant locations in order for rapid DR-type processing. If we take a look at slide 6, again, this is just a rehash of not only our SMS suite of products as part of the standard infrastructure, but there's also hardware. So typically, we view IBM as a provider of these basic IBM hardware elements. Currently, we've got our DS8000, DS6000 storage, as well as our high-end tape and VTS for virtual tape processing, the DFSMS suite that I mentioned. But these are just foundation elements, and a lot of our customers still aren't used to thinking of IBM in terms of the next layer of functionality that we tend to put out there. So keep in mind, these are the foundations. What we're going to go through now are a lot of the layers that we build and use to extend these foundations into very high-level areas of functionality across the environment. So taking a look at slide 7, what we're going to be going through now is a tool called Omegamon XE for storage. This is a focal point tool, even a cornerstone tool in a lot of what I'll be describing here. So we're going to spend a little extra time talking about what Omegamon XE for storage does. We're also going to be spending a little time talking about the interface. And I want to point that out now because a lot of times we tend to marry the interface with the tool. And in this instance, you want to sort of think of the two as two complete entities. The reason being is that the interface is shared by many tools. Omegamon XE for storage was one of the primary users of this interface. But what you will see as we go through some of the latter parts of this presentation is that it's not the only or exclusive user of this interface. So it's important to keep the two separate in your mind. So if we take a look at slide 8, what I'm talking about here is the TEP, the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, and this is the interface. Omegamon XE for storage uses this interface, as well as a lot of other tools. So if we consider what the interface provides, it's a browser-based access to data. Whether that data comes from XE for storage or any other tool, it's still browser-based. So you go into your browser, you launch a URL, you log in, and you have access to the data. You have the ability through this browser interface to create alerts using logic, so it's not just a one-for-one, but you can have up to 10 conditional elements that can be combined in addition to straight threshold settings. So you can use this interface to actually help you identify the exceptions that exist in your environment instead of looking for them yourself. Once these alerts occur, this interface provides you a combined view that shows you the elements that make up that alert, why they've triggered that alert, and easy access to problem determination screens to try to figure out what may have led to that. We also introduce what we call as a take action capability, which basically is a reflex automation. So for certain alerts where you have a very, very isolated criteria and you can very specifically identify a corrective action, you can build that into the product as well and have it take care of it. And this is a function of the TEP again. So any product exploiting the TEP has these capabilities. We also provide information about these various alerts called expert advice. This is a customer updated element of any situation or exception that you define in the product that allows you to very specifically project your runtime procedures or your escalation procedures into any element that you define within the tool. In addition to the first level, which is the XE level interfaces into the TEP, there's also provided by OmegaMon a DE element, which actually adds another layer on top of XE that allows alert and forwarding information from various XE components to be combined at a higher level. For instance, we have XE for storage as one XE component. We could also combine that with an XE for CICS or an XE for DB2 or an XE for ZOS. And using DE, we can actually capture and compare elements from all of these separate XE components and provide a single unifying business view that can then take multiple situations from different elements and determine that this is presenting an impact to a certain line of business. We have dynamic workspace linking, which allows one XE component to directly interact with another XE component that may be installed at your location. We have a built-in 3270 interface as well as a built-in browser interface, so you can incorporate these straight into the TEP interface that you're using, as well as seamlessly integrated real-term, near-term, and long-term history. So in addition to being able to view current utilization of the storage group, you can very easily, through the same interface, expand that view and monitor how that availability of space changed over the last week or the last month, depending on how long you maintain this history. If we take a look at slide 9, this is a sample view of what the OmegaMon XE interface looks like. Again, what we're looking at is the TEP, and this is OmegaMon XE for storage's use of that TEP. Actually, this is an XE for storage. This is another XE element, but as you'll see when we go through the slides, they all look the same, they all feel the same, they all work the same. This is one of the benefits of having a common TEP interface across multiple products, is you learn the interface once, and then you spend your time understanding the differences between the products and the elements being monitored by the products. So what we have here in the upper left-hand corner is our navigator view, and this is where we'll show you alerts if things start to occur in your environment. And then critical data could be displayed throughout the rest of the panel. Tabular information as well as graphical information can be combined to highlight specific elements. If there were an alert that was currently available in the navigator view, there would be an icon over those little console screens, either a red or a yellow icon to determine severity. You could float your mouse over that icon, and you'd get a pop-up similar to what we'll look at here on slide 10. And what we have here is a flyover that is showing all the current alerts that are currently known to this TEP environment. And these could be coming from different XE components or other product components that are installed within this TEP environment. And from here, you have the ability to take a closer look at all the different situations that may be out there. These blue buttons that you see to the left of these situations allow you to link directly to the situation screen that identifies the problem in context and allows you to take corrective action. And we also break it apart so that you can see the critical errors versus the warning errors that may be out there. So if I were to click on one of these blue links, it would take me to a screen that looks like slide 11. And what we're looking at here on slide 11 is a situation screen. So you still have your navigator in the upper left-hand corner, but what you also now have is the initial situation value as well as current situation values. And this is key because the initial situation value basically describes the point in time that we set the alert. Why did we set the alert? It's because these are the values that we had in your environment that met your criteria. The reason we also show you a current situation value is because it may be 1, 2, 3 hours before somebody actually gets to this screen once a problem has been identified and eventually works its way through the environment until it gets to the resource to correct it. And it's very likely, depending on what you have going on in your environment, that that problem may have gotten better all by itself, it may have gotten worse, it may have stayed the same. So what we show you, in addition to the snapshot, which represents the initial situation value, is the current situation value. So you can see very quickly, what is the current situation? Is it something I still need to worry about? Is it getting worse? Is it getting better? Is it staying the same? The lower left-hand corner is a take action window. This allows you to launch corrective actions. If it is something that you have predefined corrective actions for, even though you may not want to launch them automatically, you may have them preloaded so that they can simply be selected and launched from the screen. And then in the lower right-hand corner is the expert advice. And this is where, depending on who is meant to be viewing this screen, it may be for operations during the wee hours of the morning, you can actually have specific text in here indicating what operations needs to do in response to this specific condition. If we take a look at slide 12, we're going to take a closer look now at Omegamon XZ for storage. Keep in mind that everything that we just went through was highlighting the TEP, the interface. Now we're going to take a closer look at XZ for storage and what XZ for storage will specifically do with the TEP interface. XZ for storage's focus is mainframe storage. We will monitor real-time and historical data. We utilize through the XE interface. In addition to the XE interface, we still ship the CUA interface. So for straight 3270 access, you still have ability to get to most of the data that you have available through the XE interface. Our recommendation, though, is to always use the XE interface when available. And then the different types of data elements that we're going to take a quick look at or that are fully supported within the storage interface. From a space perspective, storage groups or user-defined storage groups, from the group all the way down to the data set level. So very, very granular capability of displaying information. Performance is the same as space. We can start at the storage group level or user-defined storage groups. And again, you can see performance at the group level all the way down to the individual data set. Tape and VTS support, cache in your control units, channel utilization, control units themselves. You can see key attributes of the control units that are available, what elements are turned on, turned off. HSM information, the ability to view HSM queues, the control data sets themselves, status of HSM functions, a view into your SMS environment, the SMS constructs. The toolkit allows you to manipulate HSM and DSS via the GUI so that you can perform functions through the interface using those parts of your environment. We have specific support for DS8000. You can actually see inside the storage arrays, and I've got some slides that talk about that a little further down, but you can actually see inside the storage array, not just a logical view that is presented to the operating system. Part of that view allows you to see the logical to physical mapping of ZOS vol sears to the individual spinning disks that are inside the array. Application views allow you to customize Omegamon XZ for storage to specifically monitor applications, and as a result of monitoring applications, automatically identify problems with data sets or DASD volumes or channels that could be impacting those applications. We have a powerful data set view for detailed data set reporting or analysis. We give you the ability to drive that through the GUI as well. And then integration capabilities, tying our product together with other products, all utilizing the TEP interface. Even products outside of the TEP interface, the ability to launch things like Total Productivity Center, if you happen to be looking at a DASD volume that's split between mainframe storage resources and open system resources, while we don't directly show you data for the open system side, we will launch TPC and allow you to continue your investigation seamlessly into that environment. If we take a look at slide 13, what we're looking at here is just a general volume performance screen. Again, you've got your navigator in the upper left-hand corner tabular data along the bottom and a graphical view, providing maybe a little more insight into specific elements in your environment. So while you have access to all data elements through the table view, the tabular or the graphical view is just highlighting storage groups or a storage group with volumes that are exceeding response time targets that you have set of 25 milliseconds. We can take this view even lower. So if we take a look at a particular volume, we can actually see response time information at the data set level. So we can identify from a storage group where we have volumes that are performing poorly, and then looking at those volumes, we can find the data sets on those volumes that are performing poorly. And here we can get an idea of where we're seeing very high contention in some of our areas in our environment. If we take a look at slide 15, this is a brief little scenario that we can go through where we're taking a look at volume availability now, or space availability instead of performance. And here we have an indication that we have a volume that's running short of free space. So we have an identification of a volume that has less than 10% free space, and it's within a particular storage group. Navigating through the GUI, we can take a closer look, and we can take a look at all the storage groups that we have out there. We can zoom in, and available to us are a variety of displays that can show us different angles or different perceptions of these same elements in our environment. So here we can actually take now a closer look at all volumes that have the lowest available free space percentage that we have in our environment. Once we've identified or taken a look at those volumes, we can go to another level, and we can exercise another element of the product, which we call the toolkit. And from the toolkit, we can actually invoke HSM or DSS actions to try to release unused space or migrate data sets or perform actions against volumes or data sets in an attempt to increase the amount of free space that's available. So in three quick steps, we're able to see that we have volumes that are low on free space, navigate to a collection of all volumes showing that characteristic, and then from there, execute an action against those volumes in an attempt to generate more free space. Slide 18 shows the results of invoking a toolkit action. We get a pop-up dialog that allows you to enter a few key elements before submitting that function and having it performed. Slide 19 characterizes cross-system capability of the product. Because we have analyzers that could be running in multiple systems across a Sysplex or across your environment, we can provide you a composite view of storage resources in your environment. And this allows you to see contention from a unique perspective, because you can see which systems are driving retention, which systems are getting the I/O that they need, which ones are being held up. Slide 20 characterizes some of the functionality that we introduce with respect to the DS8000s. Here we're able to see specific views inside the storage array. This is data that's not available to ZOS. From ZOS's view, it stops at the logical volume. But here we can see total storage ranks, we can see extent pool volumes, we can see extent pool trends. So we can actually see how resources are being utilized or constrained within the storage array. And these constraints can actually lead to performance problems at the ZOS level when we see slow response from a logical volume, but we see no reason for it from the ZOS level. Channel utilization might be low. There may not be a lot of I/O going to a particular logical volume. The reason might be is that another logical volume associated to that within the storage array is really experiencing the problem. It's slowing down other affected volumes. So this allows you to see that. We also provide, through the interface, historical trending. I don't know if you've noticed on a lot of these slides, but in the upper left-hand corner of some of these panes, you see this little blue square. I think of it as a calendar. It has a little clock over it. If you click on that item, it pulls up a window that allows you to adjust the time horizon that you're currently viewing. So while most of these screens are set up to show you near-time, real-time type data, if while looking at a screen you want to step back and see a larger frame of data or larger window of time, you can click on that square and you can very easily extend your view to the last day or the last hour or the last week, depending on what you may be interested in. So on slide 22, some of the things that you can do with XC for Storage, and again, this is almost a little kind of a recap. provide a little more granularity in what you can do with the tool. You can use the tool to generate alerts so that you can provide enhanced problem determination capability and reduce the amount of time it takes you to get to resolution. It allows you to quickly identify the root cause of problems as well as invoke corrective actions, even invoke some of those actions automatically. Some of the types of alerts or situations that you could create, and these are just some examples, storage group and volume space conditions, response time conditions for critical volumes, response times for data sets for critical applications. So again, don't monitor all data sets, just monitor the data sets that are associated with critical applications. You could monitor for any volumes that have a disabled VTOC index. Or you could monitor your HSM queue so that if your queues get too deep or if requests are waiting too long, you could be alerted to those. Long tape mounts. And these are just a few examples of some of the things you can do. Everything that I'm demonstrating through these slides is out-of-the-box panels and out-of-the-box functionality, but you have the ability to customize your workspaces and build very specific situations that are relevant to your processing and your environments. So all of these things can be customized and tailored to your specific need. Utilize Take Action to automatically generate corrective actions depending on situations that may occur in your environment. And then integration of your alerts for faster recognition of critical applications. So you can actually monitor or view from that single pane where you can see all current alerts, you might actually be able to see where alerts are related to each other or cascade effect as one problem leads to another. And then leverage the integration of this tool along with other tools to drive higher efficiencies and interoperability between multiple monitors that you may be running in your environment. On slide 23, some of the things that we introduced in OmegaMon XE for Storage ZOS version 4.1. This is actually the older release, as we just announced version 4.2, but I want to just recap some of the things that we introduced in 4.1 in case you weren't watching out there. We introduced HyperPath support. We've also introduced the storage toolkit. I actually talked about the storage toolkit a little bit in this presentation, where it came out with HSM and DSS functions that can be initiated through the GUI. The dataset attribute database is a dataset dictionary that you can create within the product that maintains an online catalog of all the datasets in your environment, and it allows you to very quickly through the GUI produce lists and reports against those data sets, and I've got a couple slides to talk about that. Dynamic workspace linking allows different XE components, all using the TEP, to interact with each other, and I've got a couple slides that show that. So if you're in XE for storage and you're looking at a key application and you want to see information about the address space associated to that application, you can very easily click directly over to XE for ZOS and get address space information. We've introduced problem-solving workspaces, and this is just a navigational aid, a means of getting you to related information about a problem quicker so that you can get to a solution quicker as well as begin your analysis a little easier. We set up our top 10 reports. I always call these the dirty dozens. These are reports that represent various elements in your environment exhibiting the worst characteristics. For instance, the worst 10 volumes in terms of free space, or the worst 10 volumes in terms of fragmentation, or the worst 10 data sets in terms of unreleased free space, things like that. We've also introduced a tremendous amount of integration. We mentioned dynamic workspace linking to other XE components. We've also introduced a number of additional tooling under the TEP interface, and I've got a few slides that will talk about that so that you can actually integrate tools like advanced catalog management or advanced audit for HSM or advanced reporting for HSM. There's also Allocation Optimizer. Now, they all plug into the TEP interface, and you can very easily navigate from one tool to the other. We have our direct launch into the Total Storage Productivity Center, which I showed a few slides ago. The storage toolkit now has the ability to cancel active HSM requests. This is something that was added to HSM a few releases ago, and this is something you can now drive through the GUI. And then the navigation from cross-system volume workspaces to data set summary on different ZOS images. And these were all things that were introduced in 4.1. So this is actually information that's about a year old in terms of when 4.1 was out there. we take a look at slide 24, these are just some of the metrics that we introduced for the HyperPath support. And if we move over to slide 25, we'll take a quick look at some of these different features are all about. So with the toolkit, you have the ability to create requests dynamically through the GUI. So you can be looking at a volume in the GUI. You can right-click on that volume, and you can bring up the toolkit dialog, and you can perform a function against that volume. The same would apply to a data set as well, using both DSS and HSM capabilities. Slide 26 is the dataset attribute database, and what this allows you to do is maintain or produce and refresh daily an online catalog of all datasets in your environment. There are exclusion lists that you can use, so you don't need to process JES page or JES spool or system page backs or things like that. Once you've created this database, we have an enormous number of predefined reports that allow you to identify things like uncataloged data sets that you may have in your environment, as well as data sets with high extent counts or VSAM data sets of certain characteristics, and the ability to manually create your own reports. But in addition to actually creating reports, if you take a look at slide 27, you can actually take actions using the data set attribute file as well. So once you've produced a list of data sets that correspond to certain characteristics, you can invoke the storage toolkit against those data sets. So maybe you identified a family of data sets that you just want to push out to tape. That's something that you can do here. Or you can just request that HSM migrate a series of data sets that have a specific characteristic or things like that, or perform a backup or release free space, things like that. So the dataset attribute database is more than just a reporting mechanism. It's a mechanism that allows you to act against the things that you choose to report on. We take a look at slide 28. This is just an example of how dynamic workspace linking might work. You might be looking at a basic catalog workspace, and then from there work to another catalog workspace, and then from there go over to XE for storage and take a look at information from that perspective. So these are all achieved through direct links from one workspace to the next. No need to have to go out through the navigator and actually work your way into a different product to get back to the workspace that you want to. We'll move there directly. On slide 29, here we're talking about some of the things that we've just announced for version 4.2. This was announced within the last month and is scheduled to GA later this year. We've got some significant extensions planned for the storage toolkit, and I'll be talking a little more about that in the next slide. We've introduced support for RMM, so if you are a user of RMM, you can access and manipulate RMM information directly through the XE for storage interface. We've introduced support for the TS7700, the IBM BTS. We've introduced new mechanisms for defining DASD volume users and groups. We've introduced dynamic workspace linking now between XE for storage and Advanced Reporter for HSM, Advanced Audit for HSM, Advanced Catalog Management, as well as Allocation Optimizer. Prior to 4.2, we only had dynamic workspace linking to the XE for ZOS component. We've introduced a variety of additional HSM functions and attributes that can be manipulated through the base product. We always have a running line item to maintain currency and exploitation of new ZOS features, so we have a number of enhancements dedicated to that. And then reports for the Tivoli Common Reporting Initiative, as well as method standardization to make the seamlessness of the various products enjoying these common interfaces even more so. On slide 30, we'll take a closer look at the Storage Toolkit extensions. And some of the things that we've enhanced is we've now introduced IDCAMS requests that can be performed through the toolkit, as well as RMM requests, so you can do RMM searches and functions through the toolkit. We've modified the GUI that's used to create requests to make it a little more seamless and user-friendly. We've introduced the ability to submit user JCL with variable substitution, so you can produce your own JCL now, have that populated within the GUI, and invoke that through the GUI. You can create your JCL using the GUI interface. You can rerun requests with new resources or a previous execution. Prior to this, you could build a request and you could run it multiple times. Now you can sort of take a request, build it, run it, modify it, run it again without going through the build process again. And then we've introduced security controls to be based on the individual's ID. So initially, if you had access to the product, you had the ability to perform functions. Now you can have access to the product, but still be limited to perform functions through the toolkit based on your user ID's authorization at the system where these functions may be invoked. So if we take a look at slide 31, we're just going to do a very quick cross-product link scenario just to give you an idea of how this interaction between tools can be leveraged in your environment. I wouldn't pay too much attention to the actual data on the screens. What we're trying to do here is describe a scenario and how the product could be used to drive that scenario. So the scenario begins, as most do, in the situation screen. And what we have here in our situation screen is an indication that we have a data set with high extents. On closer examination, we actually determine, well, actually, at this time, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Here, we're just looking at the initial situation, and our first indication is that the exception that was tripped is that we have a data set with high extents. So we do a little more investigation, and what we understand from the next screen on slide 33 is that while the initial situation value indicated we have high extents, current situation confirms that we still have high extents, and under closer examination, we determine that the data set being flagged is actually one of our catalog data sets. It's a user catalog that's exhibiting these high extents. So from here, we'll go to the next screen, and what we're able to do is immediately link over to the advanced catalog management catalog detail screen. So this allows us to immediately link from a situation screen identifying a data set with high extents. The product recognizes that the data set's a catalog, and because of that, we have the ability to link now over to the catalog portion of the product. Takes us to slide 35. And from slide 35, we're able to see information about the catalog, the history of the catalog, the trends that that catalog's been exhibiting. And one of the things that's become apparent is that what we're seeing is that the increase in extents corresponded to an increase in the aliases that were defined to that catalog. So what's probably occurred is that there's been some maintenance, maybe a merge of some sort, that has significantly increase the alias counts, the size of a given user catalog, and that's also driven the extent count at the data set level. So what we've determined here is that we probably need to perform a reorg of this catalog, and in doing this reorg of this catalog, we can address the extent issue as well as give it more space as a function of the reorg process. Because we have ACM integrated into our family of tools, we have the ability to perform a reorg while open. And while performing this reorg while open, we can add more space to the primary and secondary allocations for this catalog. So on slide 36, what we've done is we have automation that exists in our environment, so we're able to initiate a function that will cause automation to submit an appropriate job against this catalog and perform the function while the catalog remains open and available to our application workloads. We go to slide 37. And we take another look, and we're able to confirm that, yes, the reorg while open has corrected the situation, the extent counts has dropped, and this is no longer a thing of concern. So in those five or six steps, we went from an alert that told us we had a vSAM data set with high extents to identifying the data set in question as a catalog to seeing that the high extents occurred during a period of time when aliases also sharply increased for the catalog, to launching a function to reorg that catalog while it's open, so there was no application outage, in order to reduce the extents and increase space to minimize this problem in the future. All this is done through the GUI in just a few simple steps. We take a look at slide 38. This is just to give you a little history of where we are with addressing zStorage management issues. Back in 2004, IBM Tivoli acquired Candle, and with that, the OmegaMon suite of products. But from there, between 2004 and 2007, IBM Tivoli has also been introducing a series of new storage management tools, again, all layered on top of that foundation of DFSMS to provide additional functionality in various different areas. So I want to take the next few minutes to go through some slides to sort of call out what some of these other tools are and what they're doing in our environment. So we take a look at slide 39. On the left-hand side, we have some of our key tools. And as you can see in the middle, in the red boxes, we have the foundation tools, the DFSMS tools that I mentioned at the beginning of the presentation. On the left-hand side, in the green boxes, we have the tools that are currently TEP-enabled. So we have IBM Tivoli Omegamon XC for storage, which we've heard a lot about today. We also have IBM Tivoli Advanced Reporting for HSM. We have IBM Tivoli Advanced Audit for HSM. We have IBM Tivoli Advanced Catalog Management for ZOS. And we also have IBM Tivoli Allocation Optimizer. All of these tools are layered on top of the DFSMS area functionality, and I'll talk a little more about them in the upcoming slides. And these are all TEP-enabled. On the right-hand side, we have some additional tools also scheduled to be TEP-enabled, but they're not there yet. That's why they're in blue boxes. And this includes IBM Tivoli Advanced Backup and Recovery for ZOS, as well as IBM Tivoli Tape Optimizer and IBM Tivoli Automated Tape Allocation Manager. And again, I'll talk about these in the next few slides as well. But keep in mind that all of these tools represent a layering of functionality on top of the base. So we take a look at slide 40. What we're looking at here is IBM Tivoli Advanced Reporting for HSM. And what we can do with this tool, HSM provides HList commands, which at best are a rudimentary reporting capability. They do provide the ability to get some base information out of HSM. Beyond that, there's dcollect and SMF and maybe other ways of getting information. Tivoli Advanced Reporting for HSM is a reporting package specifically tuned and geared to HSM. It provides an ISPF interface as well as batch interfaces, so you can generate very specific reports using normal type English constructs in order to generate views of your HSM environment, identifying data sets that may be stuck in level 0 or data sets of certain characteristics or certain timings that are in level 1 or level 2. There's also health check reports, so you can get very specific information about inventory management, return code summaries from primary space management or secondary space management, all the way down to specific data sets within each return code category. You can invoke automated responses, perform what-if type analysis, actually automate commands based on the reports in order to invoke functions against the things that are driven. In addition to its standard ISPF interface, this product is also TEP-enabled. So in addition to being able to view XE for storage through all those dialogues that we had, you can click right over in that navigation screen and you can access advanced reporting for HSM, view the reports that it has there, build situations, build alerts, and build the types of controls into the XE or the TEP interface in order to manipulate HSM utilizing this tool as well. On slide 41, we have IBM Tivoli Advanced Audit for HSM. This is an auditing package for HSM. It's a very high-performance audit facility. It will audit, repair, and ensure the integrity of your HSM environments, including tapes. So this also includes media control type audits. We can fully automate the data collection and the corrective actions of these audits. So we can build the corrective actions and allow you to invoke them, or we can invoke them ourselves if you configure the product to do so. We can give you proactive notification of alerts to critical problems which might be occurring in your HSM environment or might be growing or becoming worse in the HSM environment before they actually trigger real outages. We can find and correct 100% of the HSM errors that are out there. For documentation, we can prove the integrity of your HSM environment. These audits occur outside of the HSM address space. They're using I/O protocols that are tuned specifically for the needs of audit, not for the needs of HSM processing. So they operate many times faster than standard HSM commands, and there is no performance impact because we're not running within the HSM address space. We're running outside of the address space. And finally, because of their ease of use and their performance, it allows you to drive these audits on regular time intervals rather than periodic audits or audit when there's a problem type of intervals, which is all about being more proactive and less reactive to things in your environment. Slide 42 takes a look at IBM Tivoli Advanced Catalog Management. And again, this powerful, safe, reliable ICF catalog and vSAM backup and recovery with forward recovery tool. It's a mouthful there. But basically, it's a very powerful tool. It's also a family of related utilities for the management, the backup, the recovery, and the integrity and validation of your ICF catalogs. Because of the similarity between ICF catalogs and straight vSAM datasets, much of the functionality that would be bring to bear against the ACF catalogs, we can also leverage against your vSAM datasets as well. So we can protect the catalog's complex structural integrity. The product understands the relationship between your master catalog, your user catalogs, your vSAM volume datasets, as well as your VTOCs. And it can ensure that the forward pointers and the back pointers that exist between all of these different elements are intact, and if there are problems, it can correct them for you. We can reduce application downtime by permitting catalog maintenance while the catalogs remain open. My example earlier showed the use of this product performing a reorg against the catalog while that catalog remained open. We allow what-if simulations, so if you are going through catalog merges or catalog splits and you want to try the JCL out before actually running it, you have the ability of doing that as well. And then it has the easy-to-use interface as well as the standard TEP enablement. So it has its ISPF interface, it has its batch interface, and it has its TEP enablement. And I'm not sure if I mentioned it for the sixth or seventh time, but the prior product, Advanced Audit for HSM, also includes a TEP interface. This tool does not currently have a TEP interface, but it is one of the tools that we are planning to TEP enable. So keep your eyes and ears open for announcements on this one, but this is Tivoli Advanced Backup and Recovery for ZOS. This is also a collection of tools that allow you to manage the tiered backup and recovery of critical ZOS dataset assets. It also includes capability that allows you to identify critical data sets as well as to monitor and track backup activity in your environment. We bring all this together to ensure that you have the appropriate backups of the appropriate data in the appropriate place so that you can ensure recovery at disaster locations as well as local recovery and do it in the most efficient means possible. Slide 44 is IBM Tivoli Allocation Optimizer. And what this does is it provides reactive processing, primarily reactive, but also some proactive processing, to prevent the occurrence of Baker 37 type abends, Dog 37 abends, and EZ 37 abends. So space abends that can occur during dataset create or extend processing can be detected by this tool and automatically circumvented by this tool without bringing your job down or your job stream to a halt. We support SMS and non-SMS. We support vSAM and non-vSAM. We will maximize the use of current volumes before attempting to span to additional volumes. When we are spanning to additional volumes, we can dynamically adjust the allocation to fit it in to the available extents on a next target volume so we can reduce fragmentation as we're performing this work for you. We also provide a standard ISPF interface, but this product is TEP-enabled as well. The next tool we're looking at is slide 45, is Automated Tape Allocation Manager, and this tool provides tape sharing across Sysplex. Again, if we go back to the scenario of building upon the foundation, Sysplex provides the capability to share tapes within a Sysplex. ATAM extends that capability across Sysplex or across between individual systems that are not part of the Sysplex. So this is simply extending the foundation beyond the Sysplex boundaries. On slide 46, this is just sort of a wrap-up synopsis of the various tools that we have that are under the Tivoli Enterprise portal. So we've got the red hat for the Tivoli Enterprise portal, and you can see Omega Monixie for storage. You can see Advanced Catalog Management, Advanced Audit, Allocation Optimizer, as well as Advanced Reporting. Off to the side, we have Advanced Backup and Recovery. We know it's coming. It's out there. So keep your eyes and ears tuned for more information on that. But that is one of the products we're scheduling to include under this umbrella. Slide 47 is just a look at the overall SystemZ storage management future directions. You can kind of see how we're trying to move, first by unifying products in the SystemZ area, and hopefully this presentation has given you a view of exactly how we're doing that. And you can kind of see that that's exactly where we are. Looking forward, we hope to continue that integration across SystemZ as well as open storage and then ultimately expanding this integration to service management, actually being able to deploy services across these environments in a similar manner. Slide 48 takes a look at the Service Manager Center for System Z, and as you can see with the TEP feeding into service management, all of our tools building into the TEP and driving information through the TEP allows us to plug into the same infrastructure as well. So if you are building a service management center in your environment, then everything that I've gone through today, all of the tools that are tied into the TEP, can feed their information up into your service manager infrastructure. And slide 49 is just kind of a scenario that you might be able to exploit or see as you realize the ultimate value of bringing all of these tools together, the TEP integration, tying it into your service management infrastructure. I don't want to go into this in too much detail, but you can kind of see here, starting with Jane at the help desk, how a problem can be generated that generates a work ticket that she may see from a help desk perspective, even while she is working that work ticket. Automation and change management and problem notifications are already occurring behind the scenes to generate alerts that go to IT and to storage management and to the various elements within your environment to identify the problem, identify the corrective action, and ensure that the appropriate people are tied into this situation, even as your business functions are following through this process as well. So that's a very quick synopsis of what this slide's all about, but if you take a closer look at this, you can kind of see how the various tools and products and technologies that we have will feed into each other and work hand in hand with your business processes to take problems from identification all the way to resolution. Slide 50, just a quick summary. Primary bullet, the Z-Storage solutions that we have out there, these are the things that are layered on top of the traditional IBM hardware and DFSMS Z-Storage offerings. We've got XE for storage, advanced reporting, advanced audit, advanced catalog management, allocation optimizer. These are all tied into the TEP. We've got some additional tools out there that aren't currently tied into the TEP, which include the automated tape allocation manager, tape optimizer, which is a tape stacking tool that works with RMM, as well as Advanced Backup and Recovery Manager for ZOS. Different values that you get from being able to tie these things together is you've got a total Z-Storage management capability, the ability to go after DASD, after tape, after availability, after performance, all of these things tied into a single common element, in addition to support for various subsystems like your catalogs as well as HSM and things like that. You've got the same look and feel, so you learn the TEP once, and then you learn the rest of the tools beyond that. You've got integration for leveraging synergy between the environments. You've got highly customizable panels and workspaces, so you can be very specific to tuning these interfaces and these tools to your environments. You can reduce cost by leveraging the common look and feel of these various tools. You can reduce the time to identifying problem, root cause analysis, and ultimately resolution. Our future look is to try to consolidate all of these things to a full end-to-end solution. Everything I've showed you today has been focused on Z, but you can see the groundwork is already in place going forward and integration to Service Management Center for System Z so that you can take all of this power and functionality and bubble it up into your overall service management infrastructure for your environment. So that takes us to the questions and answers. I'd like to thank everybody for spending a little time with me this afternoon, and now I'd like to turn it back over to the operator.
Thank you, sir. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live Q&A session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. In our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's conference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. We'll pause for just a moment. And our second question, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference, if it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. We'll pause again. And finally, we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1, and if no, press star 2, and we'll pause again. And everyone, that does conclude our survey for today. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch tone telephone. And at this time, I'll turn the conference back over to our speaker while we wait for questions.
Again, I'd like to thank everybody for taking an hour out of their day. I apologize for going a little long here. Hopefully there's some questions out there. I'd be happy to respond to them.
And once again to the audience, if you do have a question at this time, please press star 1. We'll pause for just a moment. And Mr. Hanna, there appear to be no questions. Did you have any additional or closing remarks today?
No. I'd like to thank everybody. Thank you, operator, and I appreciate everyone's time.
And everyone, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for your participation. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.